Lobbied. This is MealPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the heart of Berlin. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of June, 2016. On this date in 1774, England passes the Quartering Act, which requires American colonists to shelter British soldiers in their homes, which they don't want to do. 1793, Maximilian Robespierre initiates the Reign of Terror to purge both real and imagined enemies of the French Republic. 1924, U.S. Congress grants citizenship to all American Indians. 1953, Queen Elizabeth II is crowned in Westminster Abbey. 1957, Nikita Khrushchev is interviewed on CBS News. 1979, Pope John Paul II visits Poland. It's the first visit by a pope to a communist country. 1981, Japanese video game Donkey Kong is released in the United States. 2012, ousted Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak is sentenced to life in prison after being convicted of ordering the killing of protesters during the 2011 Arab Spring Tahrir demonstrations. 2014, King Juan Carlos of Spain abdicates in favor of his son Felipe. Today is Police Day in Georgia. Birthdays are Cornel West, Dana Carvey, Thomas Hardy, and the Marquis de Sade. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast was written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Sviaka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to thefieldpod.com or send us an email at thefieldpod.com. On Sunday, the 29th of May, a group of about a dozen Georgian nationalist thuggies attacked Kiwi Cafe, not-for-profit vegan cafe in Zeli, Tbilisi, according to information posted on Kiwi's Facebook page. They picked up by a humongous number of international media sources, including Woohoo! The New York Times. Cafe was hosting a movie night when a group of men wearing sausage chains around their necks entered the restaurant and proceeded to eat meat and smoke, which are prohibited in a cafe. The thugs then threw sausages and pieces of grilled meat at both the cafe staff and customers. Kiwi Cafe staff tried to get them to leave. Then the men became physically violent and a brawl ensued, which spilled out into the street. According to a report by Eurasianet, the attackers are members of Georgian Power, an ultra-nationalist organization with a reputation for harassing sexual and other minorities. Their slogan is, predictably, Georgia for Georgians. Their Facebook page has nationalist symbols and pictures of them looking tough. However, in the post on their Facebook page, they deny their involvement in the incident at Kiwi and deny that the group has any problems with people who choose not to eat meat. An employee of Kiwi Cafe, however, reported that it's not the first time the Georgian Power made problems for them, that recently a Kiwi Cafe customer was threatened by a member of Georgian Power. As if the attacks itself weren't sufficiently whacked out, Kiwi Facebook post also said that the attackers were joined by people in the neighborhood who also beat up Kiwi staff and patrons. They wrote that, quote, "At these painful moments when we were the most vulnerable, they decided to attack. None of them knew what exactly happened, what was the point of the conflict, and who provoked it. They were not interested to know, and they are still not interested now. Finally, they've had a chance to find a reason to express their baseless hatred towards us, and they started to blame us, although we were victims of an absurd and unintelligent provocation by fascists. Locals took the side of fascists just because, in their view, we are different," end quote. Reportedly, police who arrived in the scene had little interest in either helping Kiwi Cafe staff or finding the perpetrator. Staff members said the police actually accused them of provoking the attack. The authorities did, however, open an official investigation into the incident on the following day. The attack on Kiwi comes just 2 weeks after the World Congress of Families. People are talking, and there are heightened concerns among some Tbilisi residents that the city is becoming less welcoming to foreigners and certain social groups. Following up on the Constitutional Court bill, on the 31st of May, President Mark Velashvili vetoed the bill that increases the quorum required for the Constitutional Court to decide cases. The veto was expected. It came 4 days after the Venice Commission of the Council of Europe issued its opinion advising against the increase of the quorum. President Mark Velashvili had either hinted that the Venice Commission opinion would inform his had earlier hinted that the Venice Commission opinion would inform his decision on the veto. When he announced the veto, the president said that his objections were drafted as a result of constructive work with the prime minister, as well as with the parliamentary speaker and senior Otsneva lawmakers. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that he will try to persuade Otsneva lawmakers not to attempt to override the presidential veto. You'll remember that in mid-May, Fidi Kashvili had spoken in favor of the bill. On the 1st of June, Parliament's Human Rights Committee, remember, Dingbat Ekabeselia, supported the presidential objections to the bill. It set the stage for adopting an amended version of the bill, while the president's office insisted that the objections were drafted fully in line with the Venice Commission's opinion. Opponents such as Young Lawyers have suggested that the revised bill is a result of political compromise between the president and the government, and that it does not fully reflect the recommendations of the Venice Commission. To go over details regarding the issue of the quorum, according to existing legislation, when adjudicating a case in full bench, the 9-member constitutional court is eligible to proceed if at least 6 judges are present. The bill adopted by the parliament envisages increasing this number to 7 judges. As well, existing legislation requires support of a simple majority of judges for taking a decision. That is, 4 judges if 6 judges are present, 5 judges if all 9 are present. Under the new bill, decisions should be taken by at least 6 judges, no matter whether the minimum required 7 judges are present or all 9 of them. So the Venice Commission strongly recommends removing the requirement of a minimum of 6 votes for taking decisions. The president's objection offer to keep the high quorum when the constitutional court adjudicates cases that involve organic laws, which are cases involving disputes related to elections or referendums, impeaching the president, chief justice, government members, heads of state, audit agency, and central bank board members, as well as cases involving revoking the judicial immunity of the constitutional court judge. But decisions in all other cases, according to the presidential objections, will only need the lower quorum. So there are opponents in civil society to the president's objections. The Coalition for Independent and Transparent Judiciary said that they may take the bill to the constitutional court itself because they are against the high quorum. The whole point of the law is to make it harder for the constitutional court to operate because the ruling party doesn't control it, and to punish them for the Rustavioti and other rulings, and threaten them on future Rustavioti rulings, in case you didn't get that part. The Interior Ministry said on the 2nd of June that it has filed criminal charges against 6 men involving the violent incident in the village of Kortskeli, during local by-elections on the 22nd of May, in which a number of national movement leaders were beaten up. The 6 are martial arts athletes. Charges have been filed, but there have been no arrests. 5 of them have been charged for hooliganism committed by a group with prior agreement, and 1, Vladimir Gegashidze, for hooliganism with prior planning with the use of an object as a weapon. Gegashidze is a Greco-Roman wrestler and competed in the 2012 London Olympics. During the attack, he was captured on TV holding what was either a wooden or metal stick. The charges, if proved, carry either a financial penalty or community service or a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years for organizing hooliganism with a weapon. There is a prison sentence from 4 to 7 years. Chief Prosecutor Irakli Shotadze said that the prosecution will ask the court to impose bail and not pretrial detention. As a reminder, these were the 6 men who were questioned overnight by police on the 24th of May. Their supporters and relatives were rallying outside the Interior Ministry while they were being questioned, calling on the authorities not to arrest them. On the 30th of May, Bidzina Ivanishvili published a 20-page long open letter on his news agency 2030. In it, he accused certain representatives of international organizations of being deeply engaged in the national movement's lie machine. He singles out the National Democratic Institute and the International Republican Institute, also their public opinion surveys, saying that the surveys were carried out by local specialists with close ties to the UNM. Recent polls by both NDI and IRI have shown declining support for Otsneba over the past 2 years. In the open letter, Bidzina also announced that he will personally campaign and travel to the regions to meet people and get people to vote for the Otsneba party in the parliamentary elections this October. The other half of the open letter is dedicated to describing positive trends that were made in the country since the Otsneba coalition came to power and the injustices under the previous government. Following up on the Rustavioti case on the 31st of May, the appeals court postponed the Rustavioti hearing on ownership to the 3rd of June. As a reminder, in November 2015, Tbilisi City Court ruled in favor of the former owner Kibar Chalvashi in an ownership dispute. Chalvashi was claiming that in 2006, the National Movement government forced him to give up his shares of the company. Rustaviotti leadership obviously appealed the ruling in this latest hearing. Rustaviotti director General Nika Gvaramia was expelled from the court by the judge for contempt. He was saying how the judges are under pressure from the authorities to rule against him, which is surely the case. The Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism, or IPRM, resumed with Abkhazia on the 27th of May. It was held in Gali. It was the first IPRM meeting with the Abkhaz side in 4 years. Georgian Abkhaz sides had come together to an agreement to resume the format back in March. The meeting was presided over by EUMM. The top of the agenda was the murder of Giga Otkhozoria, Georgian citizen who was shot in May by Abkhaz security guards on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line near Kurcha Crossing. The next IPRM meeting is set for the 6th of July. There's more information on what was happening when Giga Otkhozoria was killed. He reportedly was negotiating to send food across the ABL for the funeral of his relative in Gali. The negotiation turned into an altercation. Otkhozoria was pursued back to the Tbilisi-administered side of the ABL, where he was shot. Georgia has filed murder charges against the security guard who shot him, Rashid Kanjiogli, but he is in Abkhazia. The Abkhaz authorities announced that they, too, will be filing murder charges against Kanjiogli. After the IPRM meeting, the Georgian State Security Service commented that they still don't know whether he has been arrested by the Abkhaz police. On the 26th of May, the government of South Ossetia announced that it will postpone the referendum on the constitutional amendment to join Russia until spring of 2017, after they hold their presidential elections. The announcement came after President Leonid Tibilov met with Speaker of Parliament Anatoly Bibilov and the political council, which represents different political parties. As a reminder, the proposed referendum is for the constitutional change that would allow South Ossetian leader to request Moscow for South Ossetia to officially join Russia. The referendum was initially planned for this summer. President Tibilov first proposed holding the referendum in February 2016, but some political parties were speaking out against holding the referendum at least before the presidential elections, at least those few people who have not been sent to exile in North Ossetia. Other parties, among them the largest one in Parliament, United Ossetia, which is led by Speaker Anatoly Bibilov, were calling instead for holding a referendum with a direct question on whether to join Russia. The 2016 CONIFA World Football Cup is underway in Sukhumi and Gagra in Abkhazia. The competition has been nicknamed the World Cup for Unrecognized States. Abkhazia was awarded the opportunity to host the games after the Abkhaz team was denied the chance to compete in the 2015 games in Hungary because the Hungarian government refused to grant them visas. The games are organized and funded by CONIFA, which is the Confederation of Independent Football Associations based in Sweden, and representing states and teams that are not affiliated with FIFA. Some of the states participating in the tournament include Nagorno-Karabakh, Northern Cyprus, Kurdistan, Somaliland, and Zekliland, an ethnic Hungarian enclave in Romania. The tournament will conclude on the 6th of June. In travel to and from Georgia, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili is in France, where he met with French President François Hollande on the 31st of May in Bordeaux. Slovak President Andrej Kiska arrived in Georgia for an official visit on the 29th of May. Foreign Minister John Elidze started a three-day visit to Austria on the 1st of June. He'll be participating at a meeting of the OSCE Permanent Council. NATO's Parliamentary Assembly adopted a declaration on the alliance's agenda for the Warsaw Summit coming up on the 8th and 9th of July. The declaration urges the alliance's members to reaffirm the 2008 Bucharest Summit decision, which pledged that Georgia would eventually become a member and be given a membership action plan. No timetable was given for either development. The declaration also called on NATO to strengthen its cooperation with Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli announced that the EU has asked Georgia to send more officers to the Central African Republic to train local military authorities. Currently, there are 5 Georgian troops there. The plan is to increase it to 20, but it has to be approved by Parliament first. Khidasheli said she will appeal to the State Security Service to make sure the President files the project with Parliament. Well, they want to get it done during the spring session, which ends on the 24th of June. There will be more confirmation about sending Georgian officers to the CAR in about 2 weeks when Khidashely is back in Brussels. On the 2nd of June, Russian border guards abducted an older man along the administrative boundary line south of Setia, probably another shepherd. He was brought to a detention center in Skhinvali, awaiting the bribe that his relatives will be forced to pay. Economy Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili announced that commercial attachés will be appointed to the Georgian embassies abroad to promote Georgia's economic interests. They've prepared a draft law and will present it at the next government meeting. The commercial attachés will be appointed by the Ministry of Economy, but will be subordinated to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. On the 30th of May, the Tbilisi Court of Appeals upheld a guilty verdict against former public official Dato Akhalaya, of course, Geronti Alania, and Joseph Topuridze. They were found guilty in March 2014 of insulting and physically abusing police employees in 2005. The verdict was delivered in absentia. They fled the country. 31st of May, Tbilisi City Court sentenced 7 people to 10 years in prison for torturing an inmate in 2015. The 7 were reportedly fellow prisoners. Russia agreed to pay 70,000 euros in damages to the family of Manana Jabelia, a Georgian citizen who died of a heart attack in a Russian prison following mass deportation of Georgians in 2006. 2014, the European Court of Human Rights ruled deportations violated the European Convention on Human Rights. Journalist Zviad Khelidze, a reporter for the TV program 2030 on GDS TV, was killed in an accident last week when he drowned at the Kada George in Dushetti, where he was filming a documentary. According to the reports, he drowned while trying to retrieve some equipment that had fallen into the water. On the 31st of May, TV anchor Georgi Isakadze, who hosts the Business Morning and Business Contact TV programs on Maestro TV, was fired. According to Iran Railways, Iran and Azerbaijan are working on a new transit route to the EU through the Caucasus that will bypass Turkey. The new route will include Georgia and will potentially involve Russia and Finland. It proposes to reduce transit time from Iran to the EU from 45 days down to 43. Green activist group Iare Pechit held a Tbilisi Ugly Walk last weekend. It was a walking tour through different sections of Tbilisi and showcased examples of unplanned developments such as the concrete jungle near the sports palace. British pop star Robbie Williams performed at Dynamo Arena on the 27th of May as part of the government's Check In Georgia campaign. As a reminder, it's a 29 million lari initiative. There will be 35 festivals and concerts around Georgia between April and December. Also, as part of Check In Georgia, is the upcoming Maroon 5 concert, which will be in Batumi on the 7th of June. The EU and UNDP are monitoring water quality and pollution in the Black Sea. They're in Batumi dealing with that right now. The European Investment Bank is loaning 22.5 million euro to the Bank Republic to finance small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs, as they say in the trade. Georgia's under-20 national rugby team, the Junior Lelos, qualified for the World Rugby Under-20 Championship for the first time. The first game at the tournament will be against reigning champion New Zealand on the 7th of June in Salford, England. The Defense Ministry has restarted a professional contract-based service program for the Georgian Armed Forces. Recruits aged between 18 and 35 can apply for a 4-year service based on if they can pass a 10-week basic training course. The ministry said that the number of applicants and interested people will help them calculate how to reform the military service system over the next 2 years. Keeping up with the lari, on the 23rd of June, the lari's official exchange rate is 2.1418 per dollar, slightly stronger than the previous day. According to Geostat, Georgia's economy grew 2.8% during the first 4 months of 2016 on a year-on-year basis. That's a slight improvement over the previous period of 2015, when it grew by 2.6% over the previous year. The government is sticking to its official forecast of 3% growth in 2016. Georgia hosted over 2.1 million international visitors during the first 5 months of 2016. According to stats from the Georgia National Tourism Administration, that's a 15% increase from the same period last year. And the number one source of visitors was Azerbaijan. Kazakh Airlines SkyBlue announced that from June they will make 8 flights per week to Batumi from the following cities: Aktobe, Kizilorda, Sheikh Shymkent, Aktau, Atyrau, Karaganda, Kostanai, and Astana. Georgian airports, United Airports of Georgia announced a tender for building and operating a new airport in Zugdidi. They'll invest over $500,000 in a new airport. That's a pretty cheap airport. Plans to have it operational about 2 years' time. The tender-winning company must build a new aerodrome, including a runway, aircraft parking spaces, a terminal, and other necessary infrastructure. Interested companies are invited to apply to United Airports of Georgia before the 21st of June. Tbilisi Zoo received 22 new animals this week. The animals were a gift from zoos in Germany and Belgium. The zoo got 7 South American coatis, 2 Indian porcupines, 10 striped mongoose, and 3 blue wildebeests. The zoo's director, Zurab Gurialidze, who got famous when the picture was taken of the hippo during the floods, says they expect more than 100 animals in May and June together to show up. The government gifted renovated apartments to 63 IDP families in Khashoggi and Çanakkale. They will soon gift apartments from the Tbilisi Sea Olympic Village to 159 more families. The construction company Tride Group has installed a small library and a playground in Bidube. There were hailstorms in the Çanakkale region over the past week, which destroyed a bunch of crops. A state-owned military research facility, Delta, unsuccessfully deployed anti-hail rockets. As a reminder, early in May, Defense Minister Tineke Khidasheli fired Delta's director because of problems related to the anti-hail rockets. Delta says the anti-hail system is working fine. It's the rockets that are the problem. The Agricultural Ministry built a new greenhouse in the village of Ruchi, about a kilometer from the Nguri Bridge with Abkhazia. It employs IDPs. The greenhouse was financed by Japan. In wine news, there's a Drink Like a Georgian festival underway in New York City. Visitors can try a variety of wines and meet the Georgian winemaker Ramaz Nikoladze, Niki Antadze, John Werdeman, and John Okro. American writer, wine writer Alice Faring is participating, promoting her book For the Love of Wine, which chronicles her experiences traveling across Georgia and meeting with winemakers. 6 Georgian wine producers are participating in a wine exhibition in Vilnius, Lithuania, called Vino Dienos, or Wine Days, for those of us who aren't too up on our Lithuanian, which is, by the way, the closest to Proto-Indo-European, if you're paying attention to these things. According to the Georgian National Wine Agency, last year Georgia exported more than 660,000 bottles of wine to Lithuania. With Prime Minister Kvitegashvili in Bordeaux, the new Bordeaux Center for Wine and Civilizations will open. In summer 2017, Georgia will present a solo exhibition at the center. New film by director Rusudan Glurgidze called House of Otters will premiere at the Karlo Vivadi International Film Festival in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, in July. The film is about families in the aftermath of the Abkhaz War in the early 90s. At the Startup Fest Europe competition in the Netherlands, Georgian mobile app Traktor App was named among the top 20 new online mobile applications in Europe, even though it's still in the development phase. The app provides farmers in emerging market countries with agricultural tips and support. The app is being developed by Tpielpod.com, friend and super tech-savvy Elva crew. In parliamentary news, on the 27th of May, Parliament debated with its first reading the proposed constitutional amendments that would define marriage specifically as a union between a man and a woman, because that's the highest priority Georgia has right now. Any constitutional amendment requires the support of at least 113 members of Parliament, and a vote cannot be held unless at least 113 lawmakers are present in the chamber. However, the National Movement MPs have been boycotting attending parliamentary seating since the 25th of May when they walked out of the parliamentary chamber. They say they will not be attending a session unless all the people responsible for the violence against UNM leaders outside the polling station in the village of Korceli in Samagrelo, which was on the 22nd of May, are held accountable. Any constitutional amendment has to be passed with 3 readings, which cannot be held during one plenary session cycle. So, if the amendment is approved with its first and second hearings during Parliament's spring session, the final vote should be held during the autumn session. Lawmakers from the Otsneva ruling party said that it was a possibility to initiate holding a referendum on the issue if the Parliament fails to adopt the proposed constitutional amendment. The meme this week is a video posted on the Facebook page of Sapet Avi, of a Soviet-era video showing Georgian bakers making tone bread. The bakers take dangerous dips into the oven. There's also a shout-out tweet from the American musician and hipster Moby in support of the Kiwi Cafe. The attack on the Kiwi Cafe was picked up by tons of major international news outlets, which was, of course, the idea. I'm not saying it was Kremlin-funded, but it was Kremlin-funded. You can tell because meat costs money, at least in my view. You can read about it in the New York Times, BBC, and Radio Free Europe. Christian Science Monitor previews the Konifa football tournament hosted in Abkhazia. Rehan Dmitriev of the BBC reports from Abkhazia on the World Cup for unrecognized states. Eurasianet discusses the role of the Georgian Orthodox Church in Georgian society. They speak at length with Eka Chitanava, who heads the Tolerance and Diversity Institute that does important work defending religious pluralism in Georgia. Also for Eurasianet, genius and one of the demi-mascots of Tevilpod.com, Gyorgy Lomsadze, covers Khadija Ismailova's return home from prison in Azerbaijan. Sean Walker for The Guardian interviews Misha on his activities in Odessa. Recently, he has been critical of Ukrainian President Poroshenko and of the president's allies in parliament. Take a listen to this video of the Georgian church choir performing a six-voice polyphonic version of the Radiohead song, Everything in Its Right Place. CRRC is looking at public trust for NGOs in Georgia, finding the overall awareness of NGOs is increasing. Chaihana has an expose on the cult of virginity and hymen reconstruction surgery in the South Caucasus. Turnike Zudabashvili writes in The Clarion about the killing of Giga Odkhozoria at the Abkhazian border. Sorry, administrative boundary line. Longtime listener, supporter, and official GOP correspondent for Tevilpod.com, a post that will continue in perpetuity, has stepped down as the communications chair of the Young Republican National Federation. That's right, Katrina Elaine Jorgensen, with long and strong Georgian connections, has signed on with the hashtag Never Trump crowd. Being true to her convictions, has stepped down rather than bow to Chief Dingbat Donald Trump and the increasing number of Republicans who are swallowing the frog and signing on with his Dupa Squad. They will regret it, and may the phoenix of the newly revitalized and forward-looking conservative force in the United States of America be built by the women and men who take a principled stand that she herself has. Best of luck, Katrina. Fusion.net covers the story. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is $423 million, which is the value of goods in dollars that Georgia imported from Canada during the first 4 months of 2016, according to Geostat. To put that in perspective, in 2015, Georgia imported $11.6 million, those being U.S. dollars, embarrassingly weaker than Canadian dollars, worth of goods from Canada in the entire year, according to analyst Irina Guruli at the Economic Policy Research Center. The imports from Canada are almost entirely medication, part of a government program to subsidize the treatment for diseases, mainly hepatitis C. It's the Kavkaz Jazz Festival from the 8th to the 11th of June. Look them up on Facebook and find out more. There are performances in Tbilisi and a special one at the Rabati Fortress in Akhaltsikhe. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, going straight out to you from last year's London, this is Hot Chip and Started Right.
from human nature. I forget myself, forget my limitations. Be with me, be my conversation. And when I started,
heart feel like it's my brain.